Hello, my friends. They trust me with a lighter every once in a while. Today is Whitewater's 11th birthday. That was terrible. You guys really don't care for Whitewater. Today is Whitewater's 11th birthday. We celebrate with birthday cake. Who wants one? Okay, here we go. Oh, there's no one there. I'm a terrible throw. How about over here? Yep, okay. How about over here? Oh, close. Over here? Yep, way back there. How about over here? Elliot, you got it? Nailed it. You? Come on now. 11 years we have been, we have been in existence. 11 years we've been partying together. Not all of you. A lot of you are new. Go ahead, guys. There's going to be a bunch of Twinkies coming out. We want you to share in our birthday cake with us, all right? Look, he's a way better throw. Yeah. We want you to share in this awesome event.
Get your hands up.
Come on now. Don't be shy. It's Twinkie time. If there was a song about Twinkies, we should have played it. Yeah. Make sure everybody gets a Twinkie. We are going to cover the kids over in youth to make sure they get some. And we are going to cover nursery, but if you don't want your kid to have a Twinkie, go back and stop it right now, all right? Has everybody got one now? Woo! Delicious! Yeah. We were just discussing that we've been doing this Twinkie thing for the last probably 5 or 6 years now, and we really need one of you engineers to build us a Twinkie gun.
Semi-automatic.
Yes, yeah, semi-automatic with a 150-round clip. We need a Twinkie gun. So if any of you can engineer that for us, we can't pay you anything, but we would definitely be much appreciative. All right? So we've been around 11 years, and it's been crazy because what we started with was an organization. What we started with was an organization that came to be in 1942. It was called Dakota Bible College. And what's interesting about Dakota Bible College is, I don't know if my grandfather helped start it. Maybe Larry Andrews knows more information about Dakota Bible College. But I do know that my grandfather, I'm a third-gen pastor. I do know that my grandfather taught and equipped in this college. I do know that this college is one that my dad and my mother graduated from, and a lot of other people that are in ministry right now. And Dakota Bible College closed its doors in 1986. And then it became Dakota Christian Ministries. I found all this stuff out by visiting a website this week. Amazing. Dakota Christian Ministries then became... They changed their name in 1999. It was a good year. I was 19. No, I, yeah, yep. 18, 19, both of those in the same year, yes. Yeah, I'm really good at math. Just ask my wife. Okay, they changed their name in 1999, and I remember NPEA, they changed their name to Northern Plains Evangelistic Association. It's a really long name. It's like when you watch the Avengers movies and they talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. And they're like, you need to change the name? Yeah, okay. Got it? So Northern Plains Evangelistic Association becomes in place in 1999. And in 2001, they merged with a place called Wyoming Evangelistic Association. So they have territories in like Canada. They have territories in South Dakota, North Dakota. They've got territory all over the place. And their goal is to plant churches that plant churches. That plant churches. So Laramie was one of these places that they came and they prayed over, their leadership came and prayed over and said, this was one of the many places, and God said, you need to go plant a church in Laramie, Wyoming. So Northern Plains Evangelistic Association, really long name, right? They said, okay, let's do that. And I remember being in the college I graduated from, Platte Valley Bible College out of Scottsbluff, Nebraska. I remember the director, Mike Soika, coming and talking about church planting, and it sounded so weird and so foreign. You just go into a place and start a church? Can you do that? Won't the other churches that are large, like, hunt you down and kill you? You laugh, but many of you have had experiences with Christians eating their own, haven't you? Oh. We'll do some counseling later, okay? All right? But I didn't know anything about church planting, and Mike would come and speak, and I. I graduated from this college, and I sat dormant for a few years, saying, God's going to call me. And lo and behold, this organization that birthed out of this college that my grandfather was a professor at and that my dad graduated from, which I didn't know any of this until a couple days ago. Then they call and ask if I could join as the worship pastor at that time. From that point, in 2008, we started on the living room couch with two elderly women. Well, nope, the one wouldn't allow me to call her elderly. But the other one would. No, they both wouldn't, all right? And it was weird. It was just myself and the other staff and some church planning family people that came down to help launch this thing, Larry and Connie, that were here. And slowly we started building what this was. And all of this was a springboard off of Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus said to them, this is the last thing he says to his disciples. These are the last words, one of the last words you read in Matthew. And he says this, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We have this one command that has transferred through all of the people that have written Scripture, that transferred through all of these disciples, and you watch it trickle throughout the years. You watch these amazing things happen as I'm looking back at history and I'm seeing my grandfather and my dad and myself and not knowing that we're connected in these ways, all because of this one command, all because of what people were taking seriously and doing on their own accord. That's pretty humbling when you think about it. Because I didn't realize as we came to Laramie all that would entail here, all that would be here, all the heartache that I would experience, all some of the toughest areas of life that I would have to encounter personally as I parent, with my children, with living in real community with real people while trying to love one another. As we commune together, Craig, you did an awesome job at communion, by the way, buddy. Home run. I don't know if you should take 15 minutes next time. I'm kidding. As the Spirit leads, my man. All right? But it's humbling to think of all the different people and all the different facets. And some of you have been with us from the beginning. Those are getting far further away. Some of you were with us at launch when we launched in the high school that they tore down. Every place that we go, they just bulldoze, okay? Whitewater has a history, all right? Some of you have just joined us this year. Some of you are not sure you're even going to come back at all. But all because of this command, go and make disciples, teaching them everything I've taught you. And 2019 years after Jesus, it's still happening. It's still going on today on this stage. We join many other people, many other churches in the area doing the same thing. So some of you are saying, who is Whitewater? And there is a class that we've got for that with that Engage curriculum. But I'm going to give you some bare bones, nuts and bolts. Can I do that? For those of you that are new, you're saying, I don't know if I want to come back next week. I don't know if I want to come back ever. For those of you that are saying, I don't know what these guys are about at all. They are scary. They can't even get announcements right. that I don't know, this is weird, it's a little loose, it's not traditional as the other churches I've been to, it doesn't look like my home church. College students, if you came here looking for the church you left, good luck, okay? You won't find it. I know, because I came here thinking my own church stuff would kind of follow me through, and it didn't, and that's okay, okay? Whitewater is a non-denominational Christian church, meaning we're not like the Catholics, who are awesome people. Like, shout out to Father Rob over there at the Newman Center right now, who's doing awesome stuff, okay? We're not like the Catholics, who have kind of this hierarchy and hierarchical order, and we don't pay into a hierarchy financial system where you give to the big church like that. We are self-governing. So when Northern Plains Evangelistic Association started us, they said, you're a church, good luck. Okay? And we said, okay, we think we can do this. So we are self-governing, we are here to seek and to understand who God is by who he says he is, through his word, through scripture, through reading the Bible, right? Loving God and loving our neighbors and serving our community is what defines us. Our Christian faith is an adventure, and if it's not, you probably need to look at yours and say, uh-oh, I'm doing something wrong here, okay? Our Christian faith is an adventure and was never meant to be dry, boring, or irrelevant. Whitewater is an eclectic community of Christ followers, and if you don't know that, on any given Sunday, we have a card-carrying socialist and a right-wing person that voted for Trump, and they all get along and worship together in the same space. I believe that's what they call heaven. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah, man. You got it. Don't stop short, baby. I like it. Yeah. Right? We may be different from what you have experienced with church and Christianity in the past, but we invite you to give us 6 weeks, like we always say. Give us some time. We're going to grow on you like cancer, okay? In a good way. Not in a you will die kind of a way, okay? All right? But as you've heard our mission statement said through multiple different people, Whitewater is a community persistently moving the world 2 steps closer to Jesus. We have determined that our lives will not be lived passively. What Craig was saying during communion is engage. What Larry was saying during his giving talk was engage. Some of us have come and we come and we come and we come year after year and nothing has changed in our world. That doesn't look like Jesus to me. That doesn't look like the movement of the Holy Spirit at all. That doesn't look like what we read in Scripture, where our compassion grows for those around us, where our heart changes for our neighbor, where our heart changes for our coworker, where our heart changes for the checker at Walmart, where our heart changes and it breaks our heart because we see lost people living lost lives, and we jump in it with them. We actively engage in this stuff, persistently moving the world 2 steps closer to Jesus. But instead, we will actively embrace the adventure of life with the anticipation of encountering God in tangible ways. Christianity was never intended to be a religion focused on what it opposes. Did you know that? I'm going to read it again because I don't think you heard me. Christianity was never intended to be a religion focused on what it opposes, but instead, God's intention was to gather a people who would illuminate the things that are most important to him. And at Whitewater, we see our hearts for God fully expressed in adventure, community, worship, and service. We see it in adventure, freely and fearlessly chasing after God. We talk about chasing after God, and it's not because God is running from you. He's not playing hide and seek. He's not trying to best you in a foot race. What's actually going to happen is you guys are running towards each other. You're going to collide. And that's where the beauty takes place. That's where the beauty unfolds. Freely and fearlessly chasing after God, embracing the unpredictable nature of life in the context of God. Is life unpredictable? Amen. Amen. discovering and living out the heart of God as revealed in the Word of God. Again, there's that engagement, there's that change piece that's happening within us as we grow, as we transform our minds and our spirits, our hearts, and our actions, as the Holy Spirit takes those things and moves in us and through us. We do it through community. Oh, here we go again. If you've been coming here for a while and you're not in community, I don't want to continue to beat a dead horse, but we're going to continue to point you in that direction. Your life is dependent on it. Our lives as Christian people, Jesus followers, is dependent on the community around us. We're one body. It takes all of us. We do it by authentically loving all. All, capital A, capital L, people with God's love. Regardless of what they look like, regardless of their lifestyle, regardless if they stepped all over you and stomped all over you at some point in your world, you are still accountable and on the hook to love all people with God's love. We do it by studying and growing together in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. When I study by myself, there's some good stuff that happens and God gives me things that are just for me. But when I study and I talk about these things with friends and I hear how it impacts them or how God has spoken to them through His Word in the same passage, it rounds out my understanding of the Gospels. It really does. And sometimes I can get so narrow and so focused and say, I don't know how God could be so cruel. And then I hear another perspective and saying, I don't see that as being, I guess the birthday's over. But look, the wax melted the Twinkie onto the plate. Game on. All right? But another person could look at that same passage and say, I don't think that's God's being cruel, but I think that's God giving good correction as a parent would give. And being able to go through those things together, wrestling together through life's tough questions and issues in a respectful and honest way. Again, Christians are good at eating their own. We had a class that was going on every Sunday morning called The Forum, and we had dubbed it Can of Worms because there was nothing too great in that class that you could not discuss. And they discussed some scary stuff. That's why I never attended. But it didn't matter because they were able to do it with respect. They were able to do it with kindness. They were able to do it with love and look to see what God had to say on these issues. We find it fully expressed in worship, encounters with God, gathering together frequently to express our love for God through music, teaching, and ministry. Now, frequently, I hope would point you to more than just once every Sunday. What does your midweek look like? Are you in community with those around in the body here? Are you communing with those around, these neighbors that you have? Or is this the only place you see them? Or do you have a life transformation group that you're seeing them in throughout the week? Are you going to the Wednesday night dinner and to hang out with other couples? To eat dinner with other couples? To be involved with other couples who are just like you, trying to figure out what the Word has to say? Are you doing it in death wishes? Are you doing it in the setup and teardown team here on Sunday mornings? Are you doing it with the youth when you go and help there or give wisdom that God has given you as an adult, as a parent? Where's it happening? We do it by displaying our love for God and all our relationships and all we encounter. My Uncle Tim, at his funeral, one of the most beautiful things that was said about him was by my other Uncle Rich, who's yet another pastor. I can't get away from it, all right? And he said, if you were in front of Tim, you knew you were going to be loved. And that was his philosophy. If you're standing in front of me, you will be loved. I can tell you I don't have that philosophy when I'm standing in line waiting for coffee in the morning. I don't have that philosophy when the receipt at my pump doesn't print out when I use my credit card and I have to go in and talk to the clerk. They are a means to an end, a stepping stone. Not somebody that I've got time to love in that moment. Anybody else? Liars. We do it by surrendering ourselves, no matter where we are, to God's love. In the valleys, on the mountains, we've got to surrender to God's love. And then we also do it by service here. Bringing the kingdom. Bringing the kingdom to Laramie. Bringing the kingdom to wherever we are. If you're in front of me, you're going to be loved. Giving our time, our energy, and resources to move the world towards Jesus. That's a big one here. We do it by prayerfully placing the needs of the world around us ahead of our own. Anybody struggle with that? I do. What we value here is inclusiveness. Whitewater is an open and diverse community where you can belong before you believe. Okay? The left out ones are not left out here. This is not just a Sunday morning thing. Again, it's how we live our lives, and all who are willing to chase after Jesus are welcome. Love is another one of our DNA core values. We love God and others through our compassionate actions towards each other and the world around us. Loving one another in the same way Jesus loves us. That's a big love. We do it through transparent authenticity. We practice honesty in our relationships with God and each other through open sharing of our strengths and weaknesses as we grow in Christ together. Now, what you're going to find if you're new here and you're thinking about if this is a place I should plug in or not, you're going to find that rings true. This transparency piece is huge. And if you come in thinking you're going to hide, you will be found out. Not because we're looking for it, but because the Holy Spirit reveals that, and then you're not going to like the level of authenticity that you see here. The level of transparency. It's scary. But we have no time to be anybody else than who we are. Be honest about your struggle. If you're a liar, come clean about it. Live in community with one another. Help me with this issue. If you're a gossip, come clean about it. Man, you know what? I really screwed up. I spoke out of turn. If you're a cheat, these are the things that our community can handle and will handle together in love. So don't be anybody that you're not. Deal? Generosity. We live with an open hand. Individually and collectively, we sacrificially share our time, energy, and possessions and money with those inside and outside the church. We've had issues within the leadership at times where we talked about, I don't know why we would give to this organization because they're not a nonprofit organization. And we said, well, because we want to love them. Right? We do this through Spirit-led biblical obedience. At Whitewater, we regard Scripture as the foundation of truth and embrace the necessity of the Holy Spirit's guidance in understanding and living out these truths. We have to define God by who He says He is and who He says we are, not what we want Him to be and how we want to be, okay? Spiritual formation is also a part of our DNA. We participate, again, engage in the process of God's redemption in our own lives. We experience the rich, abundant life of Jesus in increasing measure as we grow into who God made us to be. We do this by practicing spiritual disciplines, including but not limited to, okay? Bible reading, prayer, fasting, solitude, and authentic engagement. There's that word engage again, in community with other disciples. Those are the things that make us tick. There's a lot of things that we don't fight here at Whitewater because there's a lot of things that we believe the Bible doesn't speak specifically to. And so we don't make those hills to die on, but what we do make hills to die on are the things I just read. Those are the things that are important to us. Those are the things that you'll hear us harp on time and time and time again. as we love people two steps closer to Jesus. Now, we are 11 years old. What that means is our body is changing. Our body is changing. It's time to have that talk. What's happening within our body is we have experienced in our history, at the beginning of our history, we did the best we could with the information we had as leadership to plant the church. But what happened within that is I think a lot of us came locked and loaded with how Whitewater was going to be. Am I wrong, Larry? I think we came with preconceived notions of this is what Whitewater is. And for about the first 3 years to 4 years, we told God, this is who we are. Bless it. Anybody else doing that right now with their lives? This is who we are, God. You're going to bless it. And what God continued to say is, no, that's not who you are. That's not how you're going to operate. This is who you are. This is how you'll operate. And we had to catch up with his vision. So we begin to change course and be okay. And then what we have is some major personnel changes. We had a lead pastor that was not myself. His name was Chad. He needed to go because God was calling him out. He needed to go and he needed to get right and get his family right, which was beautiful. He sacrificed a lot. So he goes, and what that happens is that took 30% of Whitewater with him. And he moved to Iowa. They didn't move to Iowa, but again, personality and speakers and what you like or what you think scratches your itch at church, sometimes that's built on a person. So when I took over, 30% of the church said, no. What are you laughing at, Louise? 30% of the church said, no, we're gone, we're out. And you watched everything just plummet. You watched giving plummet. And when I remember sitting in an elders meeting saying, we have 6 months to live, and we don't see it turning around. How are we going out? Our body was changing. Our body was moving. So then we started operating under this mentality of maintenance for many years. How do we just maintain? How do we just keep our nose just barely above waterline? How do we move in this? Or do we shut our doors? And so we became a body that just maintained just life support. How do we, I don't know. And our focus became on that instead of the people around us. Ministry still happened here. Ministry still moved. But it was stifled. A couple years ago, we hit this God dreams process. Things start balancing out here. We start saying, okay, we are surviving. Not only are we surviving, but we're kind of crawling back up out of this. And now what? That's the question. Now what? So we go through this process called God Dreams with a group of 12 individuals, or 11, I don't know, semantics, whatever, doesn't matter. All right, numbers, math, okay? And God births this dream in our heart. Where are we going? Where are we headed? And what that looks like is change. Our body is changing. What that looks like is everybody that's been, it changes. It should begin to change with you if you've been with Whitewater for any amount of time. Everybody that's coming, it's new rules, it's new groundwork, it's getting everybody on the same playing field for where we're going, where we're headed. And what we're finding is there's some kickback, there's some people that aren't liking this because it's raising the bar in discipleship and what we expect of you. Because we're looking at Scripture saying this is important. And again, what was our job? What was our mission? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them In the name of the Father, this thing is driving me nuts, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. This is all we're doing. Our body's changing. And this is where we're headed. I'm going to read you what we came up with in our vivid description. I read it last year. I read it the year before. But I want this to be a reminder. And if you find yourself in the same space that you were a year ago, 2 years ago, you need to start asking deeper questions. I need to start asking deeper questions if I find myself complacent in any one of these areas. Here it goes. Water. Over the past 11 years, this community of faith has founded its existence on the life-giving, cleansing, dangerous, and powerful nature of water. We have navigated the rapids of an adventurous life of faith together and drawn our very name from the experience. Now we look forward to the time when Whitewater Christian Church turns 16. We're lovingly referring to this as our sweet 16. Right? Our bodies are changing. Right? In the year 2025, we are building on that vision and inviting you to join Jesus in the most daring call yet to walk on water. You guys have seen we don't have it up today, but the people walking on bacon, getting out of the boat, trusting God in these uncertain times, in these uncertain areas, right? Over these next 6 years, leading up to that sweet 16th birthday celebration, we envision creating an atmosphere where spiritual formation results in leadership multiplication. This is where people vapor lock, which creates a cycle that feeds further spiritual formation and multiplication far into the future. To achieve that, we see 80% of the people 80% of the people who call Whitewater home acting on the call to get out of the boat. Several weeks ago, I mentioned this, what's the law called, Craig? 80-20. 20. Whose? I mentioned Thornton's remnant theory, which is this theory that there are 20% of the church willing to move, willing to get out of the boat, willing to go, willing to live adventurous. And there's 80% that aren't. So when we picked this goal, I don't think we had even heard of Thornton's remnant theory. But this number represents something huge. It represents that flip of us that just want to sit, have our ego stroked, not engage. Enjoy some good music, depending on the day, whether the band's on or off. I'm in the band. I know it sucks sometimes, all right? Whether the speaking's good or bad, what we see is that flipped, where all of us are moving. 80% of us are moving together in the same direction. Not only are we on the water, but we're bringing people with us. Get out of that boat. There's nothing in that boat for you. Move with us. Be with us. To achieve that, we see 80% of the people who call Whitewater home acting on the call to get out of the boat. What does it mean to get out of the boat and walk on water? It will look different. It'll look like different things to different people. To those who are living lives on a stagnant, safe lake, walking on water is a call to adventure, demolishing the boundaries of comfort and safety to find abundant life in Jesus. To those who are being tossed about by violent waves in their lives, walking on water is an invitation to step into the uncertainty and pain and find Jesus right there in the midst of it. And to those who are feeling troubled or anxious, walking on water is a call to deeper experiences of faith and trust. While the specific acts of stepping out of the boat and walking on water will look different to each person, we will all share one thing in common. Getting out of the boat inherently requires action, engagement, movement. Movement is not enough to learn about walking on water or to agree that it would be a good idea. Walking on water requires stepping over the side of the boat, and eventually taking that step over the side onto the water evolves from a single action into a new lifestyle. If you're the same person since the high school days, we're doing it wrong. If you're the same person since a year ago, we're doing it wrong. If you're the same person for the last 6 weeks, we'll give you a little bit of grace, but week 7, you're doing it wrong. Okay? All right? That new water-walking lifestyle will likely require an upending of the way we do things individually and communally. This is where it starts to hurt. This is where it starts to tear and stretch us. As we take greater risks of faith to meet Jesus on the waves, it's no wonder then when Jesus called Peter onto the water, he did so with the admonition, "Take courage." And he is calling the same thing over the waves to Whitewater today, to you, to us, to me. Specifically within the context of our faith community, by 2025, we envision walking on the water to look like 50 life transformation groups to be started so that our congregation can participate in them. How many of you are in a life transformation group right now? Okay, that's not 50. I can tell you that it's hard and it's difficult at times. I was in a life transformation group and it just fizzled out. I don't know how you do that with a senior pastor. You should be scared. I'm kidding. That's a joke. I don't know how it happens. I've had other small groups that just kind of fizzle out as well, where the intensity that they started with kind of dwindles and they lose sight and they lose focus and they start looking at the waves and saying, I don't know about this. This isn't for me. Looks like life transformation groups, so our congregation can participate in them, knowing and being known by one another as you walk together, strengthened and challenged in deep community. We envision all ministry areas of the church having ministry leaders and an empowered staff of 100 total volunteers propelling the mission of Whitewater forward. We're close to that. I think last time I looked in Planning Center, there was like 70-plus people at one point. I think we're close to that. All right? We envision baptizing 100 people and fill in this auditorium, having 300 people a part of our service. But that's not what's driving the bus. Butts in the seats. If we wanted them warm, we'd just turn on the heat. What that looks like is us being serious about what God has given us. I'm going to throw a word that scares the crap out of you, evangelism. That looks like us living out Jesus in our neighborhoods. That looks like us living out Jesus in our homes. That looks like us living out Jesus in our workplaces and people seeing real life change. That's how this happens, okay? Looks like 300 people as a part of our community. We envision having 3 full-time, fully funded pastors on staff to help lead us. We envision enfolding an expression of this Whitewater DNA into everything we do, clearly communicating this vision as well as utilizing it to help define and discern what we do in the future. And we envision identifying Whitewater's first church planter. How about anybody here? You want to go do something incredibly foolish? You want to do something incredibly exciting? Do you want to do something incredibly painful? Do you want to do something that God's calling you into? This could be you. Someone for whom getting out of the boat means going somewhere with our blessing and support and starting a new community of people who are called to walk on water. Planning another church out of this church. Sounds amazing. This call is founded in the original mission of Whitewater to be a community that persistently moves the world 2 steps closer to Jesus, and it further moves that mission to the next level. It is a call to make your next 2 steps the 2 steps that will take you over the side of the boat. When you do, not only will you deepen your experience with Jesus, but when your foot hits the water, it will send ripples outward that will affect many others as they are inspired to do the same thing. Evangelism, right? beginning that cycle of spiritual formation and leadership multiplication. Walking on water is not the end in and of itself. We walk on water towards a specific destination, and that's Jesus. And we do it not just for the experience, but so after the experience, we are able to join the disciples on the waves and saying to Jesus in worship, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Yeah. By Whitewater's Sweet 16 in 2025, we envision being a faith community of people who walk on water, grabbing hold of and fulfilling God's dreams for who we can become, how we can love the people around us, and how God can be glorified in us. That's where we're headed, friends. As our bodies change, as we become who God is calling us into, who God desires us so desperately to be, the creation that He created, created for a purpose, created on purpose for a purpose, as the youth, that smoking hot youth lady says a lot. She's my wife, okay? Don't freak out, right? That's where we're headed. Our bodies are changing, and I hope your body's changing. I hope you're not just sitting in the boat watching people get out around you and saying, "Wish that could be me." It can. I just wish I was brave enough to do such a thing. You can. The same Holy Spirit that's in me can live in you, does live in you. The same Spirit that called us to do this together 11 years ago before I met any of you can do the same in you. You lack courage, He's got it. You lack faith, He's got it. You lack love, He's got it. You lack knowledge, He's got it. He's waiting for you. This is where we're going. This is where we're headed. And we want everybody to be a part of it. When we say 80%, that's not because we hate 20% of you. I'm an optimist. I love the 100%. We should all be doing this together. So sort through this today as you've heard these things. You're hearing lack in what this looks like in body life here at Whitewater. You're hearing lack in what it looks like in body life just in general. Why do I lack these things, God? So God, we ask you those questions. We ask you, why do we lack? We want to be where you want us to be. We want to be who you want us to be, but a lot of times we drag our feet, and God, we ask for forgiveness right now for that. A lot of times we say, it's not me, it's someone else. They're going to take that charge, and God just continues to call and call and call. God, forgive us for that. God, may we be a people that engage you and engage others. God, that we would take you seriously as you told your disciples in Matthew 8, 28. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the ends of the age. Let us remember that promise. When we fear what we cannot do, when we fear the change that stepping out of the boat brings, when we give excuse after excuse as to why we won't engage, God, may we remember the promise and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God, may we be a people that is about your things and about your work. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said. Here's the cool thing. It's 12:06 right now. You're thinking, crap, it's lunchtime. In 54 minutes from now, we will be meeting at Washington Park. And we've got burgers, dogs, chips, drinks, everything that you could possibly need to eat for a lunchtime. Now, here's what I'm going to challenge you with before you take off. There's a story in Scripture where they held a wedding feast. And the man throwing the feast said, I want you to go and invite all the dignitaries. I want you to invite everybody. And they went and did that. And they came back and they told the man throwing the feast, man, nobody's coming. Nobody wants to come to this thing. And he said, then go get the blind, the lame, the beggars, the scum of the earth. Bring them. if in this 53 minutes now, some of those people come to your mind, go get them. Come, be a part. Come, eat. Come, fellowship. Come, be in communion with us and your God as we join each other in community. We've got Cindy here. We've got April here. If you need any kind of prayer, let us know. Engage curriculum class, sign up. Craig is back there with the beard. He wants to commune with you over this, all right? So go sign up. Space is limited. Be a part. Grace and peace.